classic cars.
Oh, no kidding.
I got, I'll buy them and then I'll have the guys fix them. And once in a while I'll sell them. I just sold a 66 Thunderbird convertible about 2 months ago. But I've got a 55 Thunderbird convertible. I got a 64 Falcon convertible, 65 Mustang convertible, 65 Thunderbird convertible, 66 Thunderbird hardtop. And I'm getting restored a 65 Mustang Fastback and a 65 Thunderbird convertible.
Wow.
I like that stuff.
Boy, that sounds great.
And I drive.
Yeah, that's the reason you got them.
Yeah.
I know one fellow. He's got several, but he keeps them in a warehouse, and that seems to take the fun away.
Yeah, well, I'm not putting them up for show. Like I was telling Roy, he was looking for a car. I said, well, you go out and buy a low mileage car and pay $3,000 or $4,000 premium for it. I said, you're going to drive it. In a couple of years, you'll have $30,000, $40,000 on it. It's not a premium car no more. I said,
mm-hmm.
Don't be a fool. Now, if you want to buy that type of a collector car and just hang on to it for show, fine. But I want to drive them.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's where the fun would be.
That's what I'm buying them for.
That's good. So, evidently, the automobile business was pretty kind to you if you it allows you to do that thing now.
I made a living in it. Period. That's all. Just made a living in it. I didn't become a rich man at all from it. I wish I could have, but I didn't.
Yeah, getting rich is nice, but
right.
A living is important and enjoying it's
right.
important.
Right.
Do you get much fan mail today?
Oh, yeah, I still do, but not a lot. I guess average 2 or 3 a week. Kids send their cards.
Do you sign autograph requests?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mail every one of them back to them.
Great. About, I don't know when it was, maybe 4 years ago, my wife collects postcards, horse race postcards. I went to a postcard show with her, and I was looking through baseball postcards while she was looking, and there was one of you there. And I showed it to her, and I said, this guy was one of my favorite players when I was a little kid. And she said, well, buy it. And I said, no, I don't need it. And I stuck it back in there, and I was driving home. I said, yeah, I wish I had bought that card. And she'd gone back and bought it for me. And I sent it to you. You were kind enough to sign it and return it, and I really appreciate it.
No, I sent them all back. I mean, what the heck? These kids are spending their money, and that's their hobby. Some of these guys are pretty stinko. Roy, he likes to collect baseballs autographed from Hall of Famers, and he's telling me he sent 3 of them out to a couple guys, and he never even sent them back. We played against these guys.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
I've got another boy, 17 years old, who is... he would kill to be able to play baseball, and he's fixing to go to college, and hopefully he'll have a scholarship he really wants to, but his main love right now, other than playing, is card collecting. And
that's great. Collects
autographs, or he tries to. And he says it's just real, real discouraging. He sends things out, and
he might not get them back.
He doesn't get them back. He's gotten to the point where he doesn't send as much out as he used to, and he doesn't send out anything that he doesn't want to lose.
The only thing I think to protect himself if he gets a card of any value would be sent a letter to him in advance.
Yeah, he started doing that on some.
Would you sign? I signed a bunch of pictures for a guy up in New York. Why he picked me, he did it 2 years in a row. I think he runs a correctional institution, and he's got these kids, boys mainly, and they get bad. And he's got about 40 of them in his class at time, and he said, would you autograph some pictures? I sent them in. He sent me about 45 of them, colored photos. Autographed them all, shipped them back, and next year, so you do it again? I said, so the kids enjoy it. I ship them down, I shipped them back to them, and heck. But now it's getting so commercial now with these card shows and that, making them pay. When I was going to card shows, I don't remember the kids paying for our autograph. They paid us to go,
mm-hmm.
You know, and... we just signed them, but now they get $250, $355 a card.
Oh, some of these, all the so-called superstars are getting $15, $20. I've taken, my son drives now, but before he drove, I take him to these things. He stopped doing that, too, because he said that they just, you stand in line for a half hour, an hour, and you get up there, and the guy scribbles his name. You can't read it. He doesn't look up. He doesn't say hello or anything. He says, it's real.
It is personal, but with that many people standing there, you know, you got to get them through. It's a shame.
Yeah. I guess it's a big business right now. Yeah, the ones that you appeared on.
I've got some.
You were on, I looked it up one time, I think you were on about 10 or 12 cards, some of them kind of smaller issues, but...
They started, I was one of the, I was playing ball at the time when they just first started.
Mm-hmm.
That was Bowman Gum, I think, in 50. Those are the hard ones to come by now.
Yeah, in good condition where you can recognize the person.
Yeah. There's a lot of me, I get to sign from the Baltimore Orioles back in 54.
Five. Yeah, that's when they, I guess they really took off, was in
right.
The early to mid-50s.
Right. I get a lot of those, but not many of those 50s. And when I do, they're just average cards.
Mm-hmm.
No sharp ones. And I think I kept a couple of them I didn't give away. Of course, I give them to my kids.
Yeah.
In that respect. And they're making reprints of some of them now. And of course, they're not as nice as the other ones.
Yeah,
a friend of mine that bowls on my team, his father worked for me as a salesman. He just opened up a card shop, and he's got the sharpest, cleanest merchandise you've ever seen.
I guess if you want to do it right, you've got to try to find it for that. But boy, it's so cut-and-pick and expensive.
Yeah, it is. Hell, even one of my cards is $40.
Wow.
This is a tough one to find, he says, but he can't keep the cardinal ones around here. So it's best, like, even when we go out, we was up visiting my daughter in Detroit. We went up there into a card place and walked in. Of course, I don't know who I am. And the wife says, you have any of Chuck Doering? Yeah, I've got some here. And she started kidding him, asking different questions. And he, yeah, he was a ball player, da-da-da-da-da-da. I said, sir, she's just gigging you because that's me. Oh, it is? Yeah, so we bought all they had. They only had four of them. And he wanted $2 a piece. They were just average. But once in a while, we get people that we know, you know, friends. Hey, you got a card? Well, I don't have none.
Mm-hmm.
So we buy them up, and then we'll just give them to them.
Well, they're hard to find. If there's three or four card shops here in town, would you like me to look and see if they've got any of your cards?
The toughest ones to find, like I say, is at 50.
Yeah.
The old Bowman's. If you can find something like that, let me know how much they are.
I'll be glad to, sure.
And, and even if they're not too expensive, my kid would like to have some.
Okay. Yeah, I'll try. I'll,
no problem.
Next time, I live in Paris, Kentucky. Lexington is the
okay.
Main town, about 12 miles away. But I get in there, and I'll check it out for you. I'd be glad to.
Like I say, in this town here, this kid said Cardinal memorabilia goes like mad. Out someplace, it might not be as strong.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way it is. We're 70 miles from Cincinnati, so it's the Reds are our home team. And Red stuff is, you know, 20% higher than it would be anyplace else. And,
you want to watch out for the Pete Rose stuff. This kid here won't touch a Pete Rose.
Oh, yeah?
Phony crap going on with him.
I've heard that the counterfeit cards and stuff like that, that's amazing.
Yeah. Well, he's Mickey Mouse, his stuff bad. And his rookie cards are, my son's got a couple of them. They were up $200-$300. But you don't know which is true and which is false. You know?
Yeah, I guess you got to be.
And that's what's ruined his market. He's butchered it. So,
What do you think of the Pete Rose situation, if you want to comment on that?
Well, I think it's a shame. I mean, it should be brought to a head. He says no, and they said yes. Now the guy's kicked out. Who will ever know the truth but Pete Rose?
Yeah, I agree. I think, I don't know.
If you get a boil and it festers up, you should prick it and get the bad stuff out.
Uh-huh.
Make it heal.
Yeah. A couple of people have said, and I almost agree, that his acceptance of Giamatti's...
Yeah, and that's another tough deal with him being passing away.
Yeah. But if Rose says, you know, Giamatti says you're banned, and Rose doesn't fight it, that sounds like an admission of guilt to me anyhow. But
yeah.
I don't know, that's my opinion. I don't like talking
about
that.
Well, I think if you ask most anybody, they would have to say he's guilty. I think he's got that sign that he did do it, because he never proved that he didn't.
Right.
So what the hell, in other words, he is guilty until he proves himself not guilty.
I think so. In this case, yes. I think you're right.
Yeah, I don't think they would have been that hard with it, with all the adverse publicity that got on it, that the guy will say is 95% guilty. Hey, Pete, prove that you are. That's all the public wants you to do.
Mm-hmm.
But he won't do it.
So just in the We get a lot, with being close to Cincinnati, we get a lot of it here. And just the other day in the paper, there was a thing about his book where he denied it, and the guy that's his main accuser said the book is a bunch of horse manure. It just, you know, it's he's guilty.
There's going to be another book written on him. This guy Keane was our coon who wrote it. He even had a rough time with it. There was a rifle in the paper here about it. He didn't, I don't think he really enjoyed writing the damn thing.
No, it's going to be, it's tough no matter what stance you take.
Yeah. That's a shame.
Let me ask you one more question. I don't like talking about that. If you were to go back, you're 18 years old again, would you do it all again?
Oh, definitely. Hey, that's all I lived for at that time. I graduated from high school, we'll say on a Friday. Saturday, I was leaving to go play baseball, never even went to my high school graduation.
No kidding.
I was so wrapped up in baseball. Nothing fazed me except baseball. That's all I had on my mind. Really. That's all I did.
That's great. It's a lucky man who gets to do what he wants to do.
Yeah, I am. I can't say anything in life that I wanted to do that I didn't accomplish, and baseball was number one. And I've always loved automobiles. And when I was playing ball, I'd go into, like when I was in Baltimore, I'd go visit the dealers. And anything I could do to help them, you know, PR, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I just enjoyed cars. And when I got out, I happened to get involved with guys who were in it, and I got into the car business. So I've always wanted to be a car person. I did that. Finished out my life as a car person. Heck, I've got a nice family, got a nice home, and I've accomplished everything in my life. I reached every plateau that I've set.
Well, that's great.
You know, that I wanted to do, but now I could have maybe done things different in the business world, not in the automobile, not in baseball, uh-huh. But the business world, I could have probably done something better and would have gotten something else, like I would like to be able to afford a home south in Phoenix or Florida or something, which I can't, you know. I mean, those are the only things that now that I see, I wish I had enough money I could do that, and enough money to really make my kids happier, you know, help them along.
What are your kids doing?
That's what, but I have accomplished everything in my life.
Well, that's great. That's great.
I have no complaints.
Not a whole lot of people can say that.
Well, I had some bad things in my life. Like my wife, she had cancer, and she had her breast removed, but she's still with me 17 years later, and that was a bad deal, but she's still here, so I can't complain.
No, it was lit. That's the main thing.
Right. Got kids. None of my children smoke. They don't take dope or nothing like that, and they're all grown up to be nice citizens.
Boy, in this society, that's something to be proud of right there.
Right.
Chuck, I really appreciate your time.
Well, I appreciate your call.
Like I told you earlier, when I was a little kid, and you know, there's no way to know why somebody likes somebody else, but for some reason Chuck Deering was, he was as good as Stan Musial as far as I was concerned at that point. Maybe the record doesn't bear that out.
Remember Ted Savage?
Oh yeah.
He's in St. Louis and he works for the Cardinals here, and once in a while I get to see him, and he told me, he says, "You were my idol."
No kidding.
God dang. You know, that's nice to hear a thing.
Sure it is.
Well, hey, I'm proud of my profession. I brag about my baseball time. And really, it makes me feel good. And proud that I was a ball player. You know, because people did look, not that I'm bragging, but I think all of us are proud. And I know guys that associate with, they still like to have their name clean. And we're proud of the year we played in. And we kind of get disgusted with what's going on now and the things that I hear, but the way they do things today, we just kind of go, oh, God, no.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the players we played with then were managers and coaches. In fact, Yogi Berra the other day told Roy, he says, "You wouldn't believe." He says, "You wouldn't play with these guys with the attitudes that they've got."
Okay, that brings up another question. I'll let you go. I know you probably got a whole lot better things to do.
No,
but
no, I'm not doing nothing.
Great, because I love talking to you. When I was a kid, you know, I loved my parents and everything, but my heroes were ball players. There was guys like you, and it was, a few years later, there was Ray Boone, and Eddie Yost and well, receivers. Roy Sievers is one of my favorites.
They're best.
Really? Great. My son's heroes. You know, his number one hero in the world is Gary Carter. Then he likes Will Clark and a few others. I never saw anything wrong with having a ball player as a hero, as a role model.
Yep.
These guys today seem to want to do everything they can to discourage that. What do you think of that situation?
They're leaving so many other bad images, not only baseball, but football and basketball. I think with this dope situation, I think this is a bad taste you get. And they're so free and easy with their money, they get caught speeding, drinking, womanizing, just like this Garvey guy. I always looked up to him, and they always built him up to be a pretty all-American boy.
Mm-hmm.
But after he got out, I guess you found out about all these girls. He got pregnant and how he's this way and that way. I've lost all esteem for the guy now. Johnny Carson and them guys, they rib him all because of all this paternity stuff. Back in the 90s, hell, that's taboo. You know yourself, if you get a gal pregnant or something like that and you're out drinking, you're caught on dope, you're arrested with guns, how can you picture this guy as your hero anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Not that in our days the guys didn't drink their beer or drink their booze or stuff like that, but I don't think I can ever recall the guys getting caught out at these different places.
Sure, it happened, but
you know,
not like now.
There's nothing secret anymore. Just like this Canseco, how can these people pay this money to this guy for phone calls, and the phone calls are as worthless as anything? And the next day he's in a newspaper where he got arrested for speeding. He got what the hell is his wife? What kind of a family? What would my wife think of me if I was doing? She kicked me out.
And what kind of kids can you raise doing that sort of stuff?
I know there's got to be some heroes, but some of them heroes are leaving bad taste in people's mouths.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in that respect. Well, I had a few heroes. I enjoyed Pop Haines, the pitchers, and guy Bill Hallahan, and them were the guys I enjoyed watching. Mm-hmm. It was good at that time. But I never really, hell, he might have went out and had beers and everything. I didn't know anything about Babe Ruth, you know, about his days, until you start reading about it now.
Yeah, it seems to be everybody wants to make a big deal out of it. And, well, first of all, what the guy does away from the ballpark is his business anyhow.
Correct. Correct.
But everybody's got to stick their nose in. Of course, you know, it's my opinion. I was never a baseball hero, but it's my opinion that you're high profile, and it's your responsibility to keep your nose clean if you can.
Yeah, well, keep it out of the media, but today it's a little tough to do that.
Yeah, it seems
because
like
because you're overexposing yourself to extremes. I think today
the writers, I don't know.
You've got a problem with the amount of money they make, and you put this guy on a horse, a white horse, and that's the way he's supposed to be. But life isn't even that way. Even big movie stars and stuff is not that way. It just don't work.
Mm-hmm.
But with today's situation, with the money situation, the guys think they're like Zsa Zsa Gabor. They think they're unapproachable, even with the law or rules, like it wasn't made for them.
Yeah, above it.
They have no fear. Yeah, you know what I mean. Just like when I was playing, I know there's guys that made twice as much money as I did. They played cards. They were broke. They want to borrow from me. I said, to hell with it. I said, you make more money than I do. I'm saving my bucks. I don't know what's going to happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
And now you read about later on, so-and-so, he's now carrying a lunch pail, working 8 hours a day in a factory. And somebody said, God, I feel sorry for so-and-so. He was a hell of a baseball star. I said, that's right. That's correct. But he didn't save his money.
Yeah.
That's where his problems involved.
I would imagine, except in a few cases, these sort of things are brought on themselves.
Sure. Oh, God, yeah. Hey, when you're living in a high life, it comes easy, but it goes quick.
Oh, boy, but it does.
And if you don't watch what you're doing in in those heydays, Marty Marion told me, he says, Chuck, he says, enjoy it while you're up here and get what you can. Because when we were signing for these here Topps cards, we got $25 or a clock, I think. And I said, well, Marty, what should I sign for? He says, you're a Cardinal, you get the same as we do. He says, Chuck, when you're out of this game, your name is of no more value except to you, but not to them. Mm-hmm. So you've got to take advantage here. If your name's good enough to get this, go ahead and sign it. Take what you can get, all you can get. And what you was right, you know, in that respect.
Sure.
And you weren't abusing anything. But they'll forget you quick because another hero comes along or another person that you like, you know, in that respect. Because they'll forget you so quick. But if you keep, I think, a good profile all the way through, you'll be all right.
You hear bad things said about, I guess even back in your day, there was bad things said about some fellows, but not like today. Not like today. No. And, of course, I was a kid, but I don't remember a whole lot of things being said except good stuff about the Cardinals the times you were playing with them.
We had a good 25-man ball club. I mean, it was, sure, you had individual guys. How could you say you didn't with Musial and Slaughter and Shaney's and Marion and those guys, mm-hmm. and all the great pitchers on our staff. But it was a ball club. I'll tell you, a few things happened, and I don't know about it today, but when I came up, I had, you know, old baseball shoes. I didn't have any money. And my shoelaces broke, and I had some old yellow shoelaces at home here. And at that time, you had black shoes and black shoelaces. So I put them yellow shoelaces, and I run out of field. Now I'm playing with the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
And Slaughter stops me in the clubhouse. He says, where are you going? I said, I'm going out to work out. He says, where'd you get those shoelaces? I said, well, I got them from home. He says, you can't go out on a field with yellow shoelaces. Son, you're in a big league. Get a pair of black shoelaces. So I got them. At the hotel, and you know, white T-shirts with the sleeves on them, you know, mm-hmm. little T-shirt. I had a coat on and a jacket, and I'm in a hotel with a white T-shirt underneath there. Marty Marion, because I'm the assistant, says, Chuck, you can't wear that shirt now. I says, why not? I said, it's new. He says, it's a T-shirt. Go buy yourself some shirts. You know, but today, hey, if another ball player went up to Canseco or one of them guys, he'd probably mash him in the head.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But these guys, hey, you're a team. You've got to present yourself. Everybody police themselves today. Everybody's 25 guys with an agent and a union.
Mm-hmm.
There's not much policing you can do that.
No, yeah. They're protected. They're big babies.
Yeah, I think that's why we probably had better team relationships among each other in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. But from what I hear, it has to be that way. It's just like dropping a bucket of water out the window. It hits in one spot, but the rest of it goes in all directions.
That's right.
Probably what they do when the game's over or something. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's a, well, it's not a team. It's an individual star thing
pretty
now.
Pretty much, it looks like.
Chuck, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Boy, I really appreciate it. This interview will appear. It'll probably take me several days to get it on the paper, but it'll appear in a. It's a baseball card collector's magazine called Sports Collector's Digest. You know it. It comes out once a week, and
send me a copy.
I will. I was going to ask you if you want one. Would you like? We want some extra copies for your kids or anything?
I would appreciate.
Okay,
that.
We'll send you four or five. It'll appear. It might appear as early as maybe the middle of next month. It depends on what the.
But don't make me critical now.
No. Hey, you want to see a copy of it before I submit it to the magazine?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not gonna.
No. I'm not afraid. I mean.
I have no desire at all to make anybody look anything but good.
Well, I'm just trying to be honest.
Yeah.
And I don't want some of them guys. I'm going to a reunion March the 1st with a bunch of the old timers, and they're going to probably say the same damn thing.
Yeah, well, no, you know, saying it and having it put in print, that's two different things. And I understand that, and I understand what you mean about saying things about Conseco, but, you know, I won't put that in it because there's no point.
Oh, well.
And it'll, the magazine will come up with probably a couple of your old baseball cards to illustrate it, and they're usually pretty good about getting a photograph somewhere of you and your playing days, to, you know, big picture, and then a couple of small pictures of playing cards, of your trading cards. And it's not Time Magazine, but it's a good publication. Kids like to read it, and a lot of parents like to read it.
Well, make it sound good for the kids.
I will.
Okay, and if you got any cards, send them up, I'll sign them again.
Oh, bless you. And I'll check around the card shops here, see if there's any of your old Bowmans.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Chuck.
Merry Christmas, Steve.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night.